everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heads or tails.
Oh, well, we're going to start there, right?
Oh, good.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 24.
You're now tuned in to the motherfucking greatest.
Yeah. This is Jorge coming to you.
This is Matt, unshowered and uncensored Smith. And we've got a guest who, as of yet, has been incredibly unreliable, who was supposed to be on an episode we recorded for Christmas that didn't come out because it was boring.
And, yeah, that episode sucked ass.
He was supposed to be on another episode that I can't remember, but he didn't because we're boring. And he is my good buddy, Chris Franco, all the way from Temecula, California.
All the way.
Woo!
Hello, hello. I would also like to point out that I will admit to being unreliable, but I would also like to say that whenever those podcasts were supposed to take place, I got maybe a 6-hour notice.
Don't go defending yourself.
That's okay. Like I said, I'll take my lumps where I can.
Matt does the same shit to me like 20 minutes before he's supposed to get here. He goes, oh, my buddy Chris is going to come on to the show. Can you set that up? Well, sure. Just give me a couple minutes.
Yeah.
I was literally installing a new OS system into my computer so that I could get Skype literally moments before you called me. So
it was actually really funny, like, having the whole Skype conversations with him, because it was kind of like instructing my mom in the ways of computers.
Oh no.
I'll admit to not being 100% computer savvy, but you can also go fuck yourself, Matt.
It's true. I tell him that on a daily basis.
That and that I'm the worst.
You are the worst. How do you guys know each other?
Well, Chris used to sing in a band called Angels All Fire, and I saw them, and I saw like three guys touch his penis in the parking lot.
Okay.
I'm not just saying that. I really did.
That is 100% accurate.
It is.
Okay.
And he said it felt like a roller coaster, and that was really funny to me. And then I saw him randomly 3 years later. He came into my work, and I was like, hey, you're that Angels All Fire guy.
And I was thoroughly creeped out because I didn't think anybody even remembered that. So I was like, oh, that's fucking weird. You're going to try and eat my skin later.
And I was like, I have no idea who you are, but the singer of my band just quit, so we should totally be best friends, and you should come and sing in my hardcore punk screamo whatever the fuck band. It was screamo until Chris joined, and then it got good.
So you're insinuating that screamo isn't good?
No, screamo, it's not that screamo isn't good.
Your
it's
band
that
did
the
screamo.
Singer that we had was not good.
I'll go on record saying that screamo isn't any good.
Okay. Hey,
there you go.
That's fine.
Well, that's why it died out anyways.
Yeah.
I just found out last week that George was actually in a screamo band.
Yeah.
And when I say last week, it's because being the professionals that we are, we recorded an episode last week that was supposed to be this episode. We did it on the film Afflicted, and we take our job so seriously that we drank a lot of beer to prepare, and it just became a giant clusterfuck. And so in order to deliver top quality podcast material to you guys, we're recording this new episode, and we don't have time to do another one after this. So if it sucks, you just have to fucking deal with
it. Yeah. It's got to go up. It's got to go up the day after tomorrow. So we're fucked no matter what. Did you have anything that you wanted to chat about, projects you're doing, anything like that, Chris?
No, I pretty much just work. I have some stuff that I'm kind of working on, but it's still in like the, that sounds so douchey.
No, you can say it. Yeah, no, that's fine.
I've got my fingers in a lot of cookie jars.
Things, but they're coming down the pipeline. They're a little too, no,
you're in good company if that feels douchey to you. So that's fine.
Yeah, actually, I do have some things I'm kind of working on, but yeah, I mean, to really like say anything about them, it's a little premature. So I won't say anything for now anyways. If I don't fuck this up too bad and you let me on another episode, then maybe I'll talk about it then. But
look at this guy. He's already bailed on two episodes. He's been on for 5 minutes. He's already trying to come back.
Well, no, I mean, if you wanted to get any of the names of whatever you were doing out for the moment, that's cool. If not, we can move on.
Let's move on.
Okay.
So remember when before the show I told you I wanted to talk to you about listening to assholes?
Yes.
So... have you guys seen Zombie Ass Toilet of the Dead?
No.
Oh, holy shit, dude. I saw a fucking thumbnail of that. Was it on... it's not on Netflix, is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes. I kept seeing the cover on Netflix. I'm like, there's no way this is anything worth watching. And we put it on today while we were eating dinner. And holy shit, it's absolutely brilliant.
All right, I'm gonna watch that.
Remember F is for Fart from ABCs of Death? It's the same girl from F is for Fart, and all it is Japanese, like, farts and poops and schoolgirls pooping and farting, and, like, it's completely absurd. And there's shit zombies that come up out of the outhouse that just grab butt cheeks.
Excrementals?
Yeah, and hug on to butts, and it's super stupid, but I have an insatiable love for poop and fart jokes. So.
Actually, if it's not too late, can I actually plug my screamo Japanese fart band?
You totally can. What's the name? I mean,
it's called Plugging Farts.
You got to make it up on the spot. Now you're now yeah, you that's, get the spotlight
that's,
on you.
That's called
it's called prolapsed asshole.
Oh,
my laps.
Oh, God. No, but actually, talking. You know, speaking of speaking assholes, today is Glenn Danzig's birthday.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
happy birthday, Glenn Danzig.
Remember that time when that dude got punched in the face and knocked the fuck out? Because that was awesome.
Yeah, I think we should send him a bunch of kitty litter.
He's got enough kitty litter already. He needs a fucking maid to clean up that hovel that he lives in.
I'm going to send him a man's ear and a box of kitty litter.
You know what, Chris? I don't like your fucking attitude.
I ain't no goddamn son of a bitch, man. No,
you are a goddamn son of a bitch, but so am I. So, you've been watching Penny Dreadful, right?
Yeah, I started. I'm gonna be perfectly honest. I haven't seen much of it. I did watch the first episode.
Yeah, I'm caught up with the exception of the most recent episode, and next week is the finale. So,
I honestly had a little bit of trouble with it.
What?
The first episode. It's the only one I've seen because I don't have fucking time to watch much of
too
anything.
Too much Josh Hartnett?
No, dude. I just didn't like... you know what really turned me off at like the very beginning? That stupid chick's breathing. When she was in the house and she was like...
Would it have been better if she would have gone...
Yes, obviously.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. There was just little things about it I don't know.
Yeah, I really like the concept just because it takes all these old horror, or not even so much horror, but just like literary characters like Dr. Frankenstein and Dorian Gray and Jack the Ripper and, you know, vampires and shit. And it throws them all together in real life settings. And
is it like a good League of Extraordinary Gentlemen or something?
I didn't watch League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
So you don't.
You're a better man for it.
It's a fucking terrible movie.
Just heap it onto the pile of shit I haven't seen.
No, but this is a good movie that you haven't seen.
Does it fall under horror? Like, is it
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
No, that's a different kind of horror. That's but horrible. No, Penny Dreadful. Is it like a?
I mean, there's gore and there's blood and guts and there's horror type creatures, but other than I haven't seen anything that would really be considered scary. I mean,
have you guys been watching? Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say maybe to normies, it would be
normies
kind of scary, but
civilians.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it's
the most obnoxious thing.
Normies. It's your fucking fault. I never even heard that stupid word until you came along.
Have you guys been watching Salem at all?
You know, I did, and I tuned out.
Yeah, it's fucking dumb. It's really bad.
I got really excited because it seemed like it was going to be really good and really promising, and then. After the first episode, they're like, hey, I got a great idea. Let's have Marilyn Manson do the theme song. And I was like, oh, okay, that kind of sums up what I can expect from this show.
I actually don't know anything about it. What's the premise? What's the deal?
It's obviously like the Salem witch trials, but it's if they really were witches. And so it's kind of a show with kind of like mid-grade actors trying their best to act in a period piece with very sporadic bouts of kind of awesome witchery. It's, I don't know. I watched the first episode with my wife, and you know, she still digs it. She's watching it. I can't fucking stand it anymore. But it, I'll like, I kind of just either draw or something next to her, and then as soon as I hear some shit going down, I'll look up and see something crazy. But for the most part, it's just pretty bad.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's kind of what Penny Dreadful is too. It's just kind of weird acting and weird drama, and then every now and again, you'll get somebody's guts being spilled all over the floor or somebody getting ripped in half with their bare hands. And yeah, I don't know, the whole Salem thing, it had a lot of promise as well, and it just kind of fell flat. And but I mean, it's also a show that's, what's it on, WGN?
It's actually yeah that's right.
Is that like the new Oopin?
No, yeah, I guess so, yeah, like the new CW.
It's actually, it's a pretty old network though, isn't it?
Yeah, they used to show Cubs games all the time. That's all I remember.
It's okay. A picture, like, remember Keanu Reeves acting in Dracula?
Yes.
That for like a fucking hour.
As forgettable as it
is. That's pretty bad.
And it's, yeah, it's just like, you know, you just look at them and you're like, there's no way that you people are, you know, from that era at all. It's bad.
I don't know. I mean, I appreciate the efforts of trying to put more horror shows out there, because horror is getting like this big surge right now, but this kind of shit just makes us all look bad.
It's not appealing. Mm-mm. Yeah, just the sound of it sounds awful, so I will not be tuning in.
You know what doesn't sound awful?
What's that?
Amigo the Devil.
This is true. And in case we haven't done enough circle jerking about Amigo the Devil, they reopened, or rather they. I usually refer to him as they.
Is there a they? I thought it was really just him, though.
It's him and his wife Haley, who's
say she's definitely, yeah.
She's an integral part of the operation. And when he introduces himself, he introduces himself as Danny from Amigo the Devil,
right?
Implying that it's like a collective that he's part of, but it's just him.
I can get behind that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But they recently relaunched their merch store on the 13th, Friday the 13th, appropriately enough. They've got a whole bunch of new stuff, posters, t-shirts, patches, all kinds of shit.
Yeah, they've got a cool little package right now where they're going to be doing a series of Tales from the Crypt inspired merchandise.
Right.
Oh, and the first, take my money.
Right now for like $35, it's limited to 150, but there's the first installment. It's a poster and a shirt. And it's basically one of the old Tales from the Crypt comic book covers, but tweaked to accommodate Amigo the Devil. And it says True Grime on the side.
Yeah, it's pretty. And to show everybody who's listening, everybody, you know, we're no bullshit. I actually purchased, and I just received it today, my t-shirt, two t-shirts that I got, and the poster. So they're pretty badass.
Oh, you got two t-shirts.
I did get two t-shirts.
Oh.
I got the new Fellowship one.
Oh, that one's good. I want the Patience one with the animals eating the hand and stuff.
It's pretty excellent.
It's fucking awesome.
It's amigothedevil.bigcartel.com, I think, to get all their
Or just amigothedevil.com. And tell him Who Goes There sent you, and maybe he'll jack off on your shirt or something.
Yeah, don't expect anything free from us.
There might be blow residue on everything anyways.
Love selling blow.
Yeah, it's just from Skittles.
You might get an extra humdinger in your package.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. My package is the humdinger. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I was going to tell you, so you've played Outlast, right?
Right.
They just released it to Xbox One.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it's $19.
It's for sale on Steam right now for like $4.
What isn't for sale on Steam right now?
Everything.
Yeah, everything's on sale.
Luckily, my computer's down, so I'm not spending any money. Because I can't remember my Steam login anyway, so.
No. It's on sale right now for $19. I go check it out. This guy can hardly play it with the lights on.
Dude, it's fucking terrifying. I've played games like that before where, you know, there's all these weird monsters and shit, and your only option is to either hide, run, or fight. Or you can't fight. It's hide, run, or die. And I've played games like that before, but they've all been third person. And what makes this one so terrifying is it's first person, and half of it you're looking through a night vision lens on a video camera. So
that's pretty bonkers.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to look through a night vision lens in real life. So to be in a video game and not be able to put it down and just kind of look around or even just use a flashlight on my phone. Goodness. That's what I have to say about that. It's pretty terrifying, and I definitely recommend it to everybody. But you mentioned Friday the 13th. I have a little bit of news on the Friday the 13th reboot. It's going to be in full 3D. But the nice part is that means they've abandoned the found footage angle.
No, they have not.
They have. Wait, how the fuck are you going to be found footage in 3D?
They said that they're making. Well, actually, so here's the thing. Maybe if you read a different article than I did, they didn't directly say that the new Friday the 13th was going to be 3D. They said that the production company who's making it, everything that they have slated for the next 3 years is going to be in 3D, and so they just kind of assumed that Friday the 13th was going to be under that banner. But they said even that going forward, even if it is 3D, they're not 100% sure they're going to abandon the found footage.
They need to abandon the found footage.
Absolutely. Well, they should just abandon the 3. I mean, I don't know. The fucking 3D could be cool. The third Friday the 13th Part 3 is actually holds a very special place in my heart.
I love the shit out of that movie. Yeah. I really do. And that's wherein lies the challenge. If they can do it like they did Friday the 13th and actually do the 3D effects as they're filming rather than add it in afterwards. You know, like, because in part 3, they had that cheesy scene where the arrow flies at you and hits you in the eye, and it just traveled along this little string towards the camera. If they do stuff like that, I'm going to love it. But if it's all stuff afterwards, you know, all CG shit flying around, like, I don't care.
Yeah, it never looks good when it's post-processing 3D.
Exactly.
Well, let's also not forget Freddy's dead.
Oh, yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. 3D only looks good if it's actual practical effects or if it's... like stuff in the sky. Like How to Train Your Dragon in 3D is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Because it's just all flying and it's just landscapes and everything. And that's totally legit. But other than
I may not have a dog in this race because if I'm going to be honest, I haven't seen any of the new 3D. The only 3D I've seen in theater was, and bear with me here, gentlemen, was Beowulf.
Ooh.
That was how long ago?
That was fucking years ago.
That's at least a decade ago.
Wasn't that one of the movies where Angelina Jolie got naked?
Well, I mean, naked in that she's animated, but...
And she had no nipples.
Yeah. Oh. Well, what's the point?
Nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. So...
That was the last 3D movie you saw?
Yeah, I'll just go tell kids to get off my lawn now.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, I'm with you. I wear glasses, so I can't actually fucking watch 3D because it gives me the biggest fucking headache.
Yeah, I've heard.
So
yeah.
I'm always out on 3D, like, always.
I just don't pay for it because, to be completely honest, I mean, a lot of the movies that I go to see, like, I fucking hate Michael Bay. And, like, I don't know, a lot of the stuff that I go to see in the theater, I don't think that the 3D is really going to enhance it that much. So it just, it never seems anything that I'd go for. But, I mean, that's probably my loss. I don't know. I couldn't speak to it.
Speaking of Michael Bay, have you seen that abortion that he's trying to pass off as a new Ninja Turtles movie?
Oh, God. Actually, if you want to see a good horror movie, like, look at the posters, or I'm sorry, the new trailer. Dude, the Ninja Turtles themselves are awful.
Yeah, horrible. I mean, Shredder looks kind of cool just because he's huge and he's the Shredder.
But he's not fucking Japanese.
Oh, he's not?
No.
What, is he a white dude?
He's the guy. He's the fucking guy from the beginning of Dark Knight. The banker, the mob banker. He's that guy.
Oh, Michael Bay is clearly racist then.
Boy, we all saw Transformers 2, right?
Why would I watch Transformers 2?
Well, but I mean, you had the fucking Jamaican fucking twins and with the gold teeth. And
I knew nothing about that.
Yeah, really fucking bad.
Nothing.
But hey, at least we got Mark Wahlberg in the fourth one.
Mackie Mack.
Wait, isn't what? Isn't
Did
his
we find
name
a Transformer?
Like, his name's like Chad Yeager or something, or his last name is definitely Yeager. I can't remember his first.
Dude.
It's the most douchey name I've heard.
Like every time now I think of Mark Wahlberg, I think of The Happening. And I can't, like, get over him.
What's
going,
The Happening?
What? No!
That Transformer's not the king of me. He doesn't tell me when to fuck.
All I ever think is, hey, goat, say hi to your mother for me. I say that line way more than I should. Anytime I see a goat, I want that goat to give salutations to his mother for me.
So listening to the podcast fairly often, I know that
he's
not.
He's lying.
He said you're a bullshitter.
Oh, whatever. hey, how did I know Humdinger then, motherfucker?
Hey, got you there.
That's true.
So we're 20 minutes past 20 minutes into this podcast, and we haven't even mentioned.
Hey, that's totally fine. We're don't step on our toes, buddy.
Oh, I'm not stepping on your toes. I'm just saying.
We're the professionals here, okay? We have
Let's talk about Mark Wahlberg this whole fucking podcast.
I've got more notes before we even get close to the movie.
No game.
No, actually, no. I'm sorry. I did not mean to step on toes. And before we go into the quote unquote main feature, there's something that I kind of wanted to.
We haven't talked about Binding of Isaac.
Speak it.
We haven't talked about all kinds of other stuff.
Well, let
we've only talked about poop like once.
Okay. Well, anyway, what did you want to get to?
Oh no, I was gonna mention something really fast, and it's actually about a year and a half old, but something that I just kind of pop back up on, and it is horror related. If anyone's a comic book fan, I don't know if any of the listeners are, but
I'm sure we have a few fucking nerds listening.
Really? Nope. Really, you're gonna alienate the like.
Isn't that our goal, is to alienate everybody?
All right.
Since the guy with the Jack Burton tattoo on his arm.
What's wrong with Jack Burton?
There's absolutely nothing wrong with
him. He's now a comic book, okay? He was an American icon before he was a comic book.
Okay, buddy. Calm down.
But his comic book did come out.
Let him get to his point, please.
His point was about the Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh my God, you just can't fucking stop, can you?
You got me on Big Trouble in Little China. You're going to open up a whole can of worms.
If there's anyone who loves that movie just as much as you do, you know it's me. So
that's true. I gave him a poster for his birthday.
That is true. Actually, when we were on video before, I don't know if you saw it, but it was hanging right over my left shoulder.
I did not.
No.
I was trying not to look at you.
Anyways, when DC just rebooted its whole universe, one of the characters they redid was Swamp Thing. And it was always one of my favorites, because if anyone's ever read Swamp Thing, it's a complete horror comic. It's really, especially when Alan Moore was doing it. But
the Alan Moore Swamp Thing is out of control.
Oh, so good! Yeah. I mean, and the old Bernie Wrightson shit. I mean, it's awesome. So the when they did the new, it's called the New 52. This guy Scott.
Oh, you're talking about the reboot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was really hesitant at first because all of that. I mean, as soon as I saw the new Superman, I was like, yeah, fuck this noise. I don't want anything to do with this.
You mean the new Superman movie?
No, I mean
comic books.
Comic.
Okay.
They basically, so anybody who's listening who doesn't understand what New 52 is, they basically rebooted the franchise and all
their franchises,
like everything across the board.
They took everything back to zero.
Yeah. Okay. So everything, like every pre-history that you've had, is gone. Okay. Like anything you know about Superman, as far as pre New 52. But anyways, continue. Sorry.
Sorry. No. No. So I was really, really hesitant. I didn't really quite know what to make of it. Excuse me, especially since I'm such a big Bernie Wrightson fan, I thought that they were just going to rub their bloody dick all over his teddy bear and just, you know, completely just, you know, degrade the whole thing. But I ended up picking up, it's the volume one, Them Bones, and it's really crazy, and it's really twisted, and it's pretty good. So if any of you guys out there are Swamp Thing fans, or even, well, it sounds like, you know, you, George, and he looks like you're a comic book guy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I dabble a little bit. I mean, I would be reticent to say that I'm actually a comic book guy, but I guess more of the popular comic books I'm into a little bit. I'm a little less versed on obscure comic books.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, and that's fair. He was always kind of more of the on the Vertigo side of DC, the darker stuff, the more kind of bastard children of DC, if you will. But yeah, I mean, this new run is pretty incredible. I thought that it was going to be kind of toned down, and they definitely didn't do that.
The new 52 Joker is out of fucking control, man.
Yeah, I was very shocked at that as well.
Holy shit, dude. Have you seen...
I don't know shit about comics.
So, I mean, we don't have to dwell too much on it, but the new Joker basically is... He's, like, removed the skin of his face...
Oh, yeah.
And surgically, like, well, surgically, like, stapled it back to his skull.
Well, that's pretty
fucking... It's fucking wild, dude.
And I may be mistaken, but I believe I've heard rumors that they're actually rebooting Swamp Thing as a movie franchise again. And,
you know, yeah.
This is totally going to come back to my apparent love for dick, but the only thing I remember about the Swamp Thing movie was when that dude got the grenade in his pants.
That's
the only part I remember.
And you know what? Like, if it's done well, and it's done by somebody who could actually get the atmosphere, and this might seem weird.
Oh no, it's actually gonna be done by Michael Bay.
Oh, it's going to be a tie-in with the Ninja Turtles, right?
Correct. The Ninja Turtles actually become the Swamp Thing once they get the second dose of it.
Yeah, he'll have like wrist-mounted rockets and shit. Yeah.
And then he'll transform into a fern. And it'll be voiced by Mark Wahlberg.
And there will be a lot of those starting at the floor spinning and
going, I'm made out of plants.
What?
No.
So I'm a plant. What's up with that?
Say hi to Mother Earth for me.
You gotta thank Mother Earth. You wanna know why? Cause you're perfect. Oh, fuck that movie, dude. All right, well, since you're such a stickler for keeping on schedule, I guess we'll get to our movie. Finally.
I was more making a joke that we can get to that.
Yeah, I thought it was George was keeping it on the rails, not keeping it on the rails, Franco.
I know. Well, anyways, we'll get to it. So we watched from IFC Midnight, we watched Almost Human.
Yeah, not that that shitty short-lived J.J. Abrams TV show. Did you just get offended that I said shitty? I'm assuming it's shitty. I never watched it because it looked stupid as fuck.
It was actually pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Is that why it lasted less than a season?
Dude, sci-fi shows never do well on TV.
Oh, yeah? Well, that's unfortunate for them. But somebody is trying to call my phone as I'm trying to pull up the pertinent information about this.
I'm just sending you dick pics, Matt. Don't worry.
Okay. You got to send those to my my Instagram, man. So, this movie, Almost Human, came out in 2013. It's a horror sci-fi film, which I can really only describe as an alien slasher flick. It is written and directed by Joe Bagos, who is awesome enough to follow us on Twitter and Instagram now, and who will be promptly unfollowing us after this episode, I'm sure.
You're coming up shortly.
And this is one of the few times that the IMDb description pretty much accurately sums up the movie. There is a young lumberjack who disappears in a flash of light on his front yard, only to reappear 2 years later and goes on a violent killing spree. And that's really as deep as the plot goes.
Did we ever actually confirm that he was a lumberjack?
Not just
a big Iron and Wine fan?
You fucking say that, and that's like the sixth thing on my notes that I have here. I go, lumberjack, ? Because I don't think it was ever actually established.
Was he ever even wearing a flannel?
Yeah, at the very beginning.
A flannel and a beanie.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
I remember the beanie. I don't remember the flannel.
Yeah, he was wearing
so much.
A flannel.
But so do hipsters. So,
and apparently this is based off of actual events in, I forgot the actual town, but somewhere in Maine in the 1980s.
They mentioned Derry at one point, but
you picked up on that too, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
Big Stephen King fan.
So you saw the painting above my bed then, right? Or above my desk?
Above your bed?
Above my bed? No, above my desk. My Dark Tower painting.
So that's how you got on this show.
I'll have to send you a picture because it's fucking good. This fucking movie.
So, it started off good, you know, like the... actually,
it did?
Yeah, did it? I mean, I was going to say it at least started off exciting, kind of, because it starts with this guy, Seth Hampton, played by Graham Skip Franco.
Skip Franco.
He looks like another Skip Franco. He looks like he could be another popular actor's less popular brother or something. He comes running into his buddy's house, and he's talking about how one of their friends vanished in this big flash of light and just disappeared into the sky, and he's completely freaking out and hysterical.
Dude, you know what he looks like? I'm sorry.
Huh?
He looks like he looks like fucking Harry Potter's retarded younger brother or older brother. That's what he looks like. I couldn't, dude,
in his IMDb picture, he kind of looks like he might be a date rapist. I'm just saying, like, look at this picture. He's just,
I'm looking at that same one. I'm looking at it right now.
He's got this kind of like, girl, you don't know.
He definitely looks like Daniel Radcliffe, but like heroin addict.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say this, and if for some reason he's listening, because I know that he was actually gonna be on the podcast at one point. So if you are listening, I apologize, and please do not take any offense. But I thought he looked like a chubbier, pervier version of Joey Balls from Old Man Markley.
Joey is gonna be on the show at some point,
and I'll just let him know
he does look like a pervier, chubbier Joey.
Absolutely, he does, and I love you, Joey, so much, and you know, please don't take that the wrong way.
But we're not apologizing to Graham Skipper.
Yeah,
that no.
Is that his last name, Skipper?
Skipper.
All I see is Graham Skip, and that worked because it's Graham Skip Franco in my book. But so Graham Skip Franco comes in, and he's totally just flipping out about his friend vanishing into the sky, and his lumberjack buddy Mark couldn't give a shit. Could not give a shit.
Who, by the way, the actor who is Josh Ethier, whatever the hell his name is, he produced and I think wrote an initial version of the script, if I'm not mistaken.
Of this script?
Of this script, if I'm
not mistaken. He looked really familiar, and I mean, I could have just looked at his IMDb and seen if there was anything that...
he's definitely a producer of the movie. He also did sound design, and... See,
he was in Hatchet 3, and he's in that movie on Netflix.
Oh, that's why he looks familiar.
Contracted? I haven't watched that. I heard it was just like a really obvious zombie outbreak movie. Oh, and Danny Amigo the Devil will like this. He was in a video short called Bad Moon Rising, because Danny is such a Creedence Clearwater fan.
Well, and Joe Bagos or whoever the director, he did that as well, right? That was his short film.
He did which one? The short film?
Bad Moon Rising.
Oh, he may have. I didn't go into that much detail on it.
Professional podcaster through and through, right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, we picked this movie like 2 days ago because, like I said, this is kind
you
of. Did, like,
you didn't really have to say that.
Did I not?
No, you could have said we've been actually excited to watch.
We've been
this
very
movie for
excited
weeks.
About. It. We actually, yeah. I posted news on this and I posted a trailer on it on our website long ago, but.
It's not very well critically or user and on IMDb rating.
Yeah,
I mean it's
oh, I don't know if you saw, but there are some reviews that are just fucking deep throating this movie.
Oh, I bet every movie that comes out is going to get deep throated.
Well, I don't want to out and out say that it's a bad film. There was definitely parts that you know I thought had good intentions, and they were sort of spliced in with other kind of crappier parts. I mean, case in point, man. We're talking about a crappy part, by the way, dude. After the abduction scene from the very beginning, when homeboy wakes up from the fucking his first alarm, did you guys
Skip Franco?
Yeah, Skip Franco. Did you guys, like, look at his face when he first woke up?
You mean
up?
When he was clearly going down on a woman who was on her period and forgot to wipe off his mouth? Because he woke up with just blood all over his mouth.
Yeah.
All over.
That was the whole, like, bloody nose thing. But
the look George is giving me right now is priceless. Maybe I'm just a giant fucking pervert, but I got all kinds of disgusting, like, porn type imagery from this. Like when the hunters find the dude in the woods, he's totally covered in cum. Like he's got a bukkake, he's got thick white creamy shit all over his beard and
paging Dr. Freud.
Hey, show me on this doll where he touched you.
He touched me right in my heart.
Jesus Christ, man.
Dude, like, okay, in my notes, where is it? It says, wipe your mouth after eating.
No, there are definitely parts, like, I don't even know where to start. Because my notes are kind of scattered here a little bit. But, like, I'll start off by saying this. There's something about this movie inherently, because it is such a hardcore 80s sci-fi horror throwback, that I want to fucking like it, because it does recall in spirit anyway a lot of those movies that you know, that I used to watch and love and stuff like that. But the thing that I kept thinking while I was watching the movie was, wow, Slither did this way better.
Yeah.
And I want to bring this up really quick, because it is right in the beginning. But if I'm to understand correctly, during the opening credits, it's kind of alluding to the fact that Fat Joey Balls was sent to prison for the disappearance, because didn't hipster lumberjack guy's girlfriend like rat him out and say that
he was questioned and then set free for lack of evidence.
Okay, see, I wasn't really clear on that. All right, so then that part's not so weird. But let's talk about his girlfriend really fast. 2 years had passed that she saw her boyfriend sucked up into the sky by a blue light, and she's fucking engaged to another dude.
All these people just seem so indifferent and oblivious to the world going on. It's like, oh, my fiance got sucked up into the sky by some light. Whatever, I'm just going to get on with my life. Like,
but a girl's got to eat, so what am I supposed to do? Like, yeah. So I'm dating fucking Corvette over here.
Yeah.
Corvette-y. Which, I, you know, I'm not a car guy, but I don't think that was an 80s Corvette.
I couldn't tell you, but I thought, like, to me, they just put it in there because they were like, well, this guy needs to be a complete and utter douche. So what can we have him drive?
They should have had him drive, drive a Lexus. Point.
And we all know that people that drive Corvettes are douches.
And so are people that drive Lexi.
Lexi?
Okay. Lexi.
You know, you were saying that it had this 80s movie kind of feel to it, and I sort of agree with you, but...
Did you guys kind of feel like when the hunters found him, it was like Terminator? Like the first Terminator?
Yes! Oh my God! I thought he was going to say, I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
Yeah, your clothes. Give them to me.
Well,
now.
And not only that, but where they, like, he ends up going to the house where he was abducted from, and the sphere where he was abducted, like, literally where he was standing was still there.
It's in my notes. It's a 2 years, and the burnt grass is still there.
Right.
Like... I mean, I'm no fucking landscaper, but I think the grass would have grown out after 2 years. Either that or it would have just been a complete dead patch, but it still looked like it had soot on it. Like it was charred or something. Totally stupid.
So yeah, I think we're getting slightly ahead of ourselves. What happens is the main character, the antagonist, I guess, if you will, gets abducted by who the fuck knows at this point.
Who knows at any point, because they never tell you.
Well, they kind of do. I mean, we'll get to it, but they kind of do. And he's gone for 2 years, comes back in coincidence with, you know, more power outages and light flashes in the sky. And people are like, whoa, this happened 2 years ago.
Yeah. Connecting the dots. Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit when it happens.
Right, and it seems kind of weird because you would have figured if these events had happened 2 years ago and people wound up missing as a result of these events or coinciding with these events, that you would have at least paid a little attention. Like, oh shit, well maybe people are going to start turning up missing again or some kind of weird stuff is going to... No, nobody gave a shit. And there was news reports, and if this is actually based off of real events, do you think those news reports were from... the actual events, or do you think those were just filmed for the...
Well, I think your first problem is thinking that because it said based on true events that there's any kernel of truth in this whole fucking movie.
Actually, I want to interject here real fast. It never actually says this was based on true events. I think it says this was based on events that happened. So that could mean anything.
So
that
they had the conversation in the diner and that actually happened.
And that's it.
Other than that, nothing else happened.
Yeah.
So a couple hunters find our plucky main character, as Matt would say, covered in cum and whatnot.
I was gonna say, when have I ever said plucky?
No, you didn't say plucky. And he proceeds to just kill the shit out of them. And that's sort of the beginning of the fucking shit that happens in this movie. Where the fuck are you going?
To get a beer.
You have a full beer right in front of you.
Oh.
I would like to point out that he does George, in fact keep their clothes.
See, they should have got George to play one of the goddamn Ninja Turtles because he just snuck that beer right in front of me. All ninja-like.
Sorry, go ahead, dude.
No, I was going to say that he did actually take their clothes just like the fucking Terminator.
He did, and...
Well, yeah, they found him, like, naked in the fetal position, and actually, from that point right there, I will say, the violence in this movie was fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Every bit of it.
Although I read a review that said something along the lines of nonstop violence and gore, which I fucking disagree with. But
yeah,
there was definitely stoppage.
There was a few instances of violence and gore.
Oh, and if you haven't seen the second to last episode of Game of Thrones, you're going to get spoiled on that real soon here. So just be aware.
But you know what? That's your own fucking fault because you should be watching Game of Thrones. And if you haven't read the books, shame on you, because you should read the books, you uncultured swine.
did you guys...
Spoiler, it's purgatory.
Yeah.
They'll deny it up until the end, but it's ultimately purgatory.
The feeling of this movie to me, and I don't know if it was intentional or not, like, I kept waiting for Mulder and Scully to fucking show up. Like, honestly, like, I was...
That was the 90s, dude. That wasn't the 80s.
Well, no, I know that, but, like, I don't know if it was the way they were filming it or the pace, but I was like, this feels like an X-Files episode.
You know, and with how short this movie was, it would have, because the entire movie's only 80 minutes.
Yeah.
And the credits themselves are 8 minutes long, and they had to stretch out the credits in order to get it into different film circuits, you know, film festivals. So had they just taken a few minutes out, it totally could have been a really, really legit X-Files episode,
which would have been good.
Yeah. And I mean, aside from a couple butts, there was only like boobs in it for like 3 seconds, and that's the only nudity, so it's not like they'd really have to cut a whole lot of it out to make an X-Files episode.
Well, anywho, yeah, so moving on, you know, I don't want to disparage the movie too much, because it was actually,
I enjoyed it.
I did too.
I enjoyed it to the point where I planned on watching it again, and then I fell asleep to my neighbors screaming about the stupid fucking World Cup.
This is what our curse is on this show, is because we tend to rip into things that we do actually like, and only because we're splitting hairs at this point. I mean,
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No.
No, I was gonna say. I'm not really being a fart in a soup bowl. It's not that I didn't like it. I didn't fucking hate it. But like I said, there's something in this movie that I find very charming. There's something in it that I like, but the movie itself it did fall prey to kind of those whole, like, you know, first time low budget movie trap falls. Just the pacing was kind of bad. The actors, I'm sorry, were not that great. But the direction so the direction of this movie was fucking phenomenal, especially for a first time director or first, you know, full length director. The direction was awesome. The effects were crazy good, especially.
And also the cinematography, the way it was filmed was actually pretty well done.
Yeah. And I don't think that there was any CG in the movie. It looked like it was all in camera. So that's pretty fucking awesome too.
I don't recall any CG. I don't think there was any instances where they would really need CG.
There was some where if they had a bigger budget, I could, like, without jumping ahead of ourselves, but there's some points where I see that they could have used it, but I think that's what also kind of gave it that awesome 80s feel, was it didn't.
Oh,
did we lose you?
No, I'm still here.
Okay, good. Okay. You just trailed off non-distinct.
Yeah, he said it gave it 80s feel.
I'm sorry, I was taking a drink of my beer. When... Oh.
Well, yeah, good job doing that in the middle of a sentence.
I tend to do that. Yeah, sorry.
Professional podcasting 101.
So one of my favorite spots was, you know, he kills people, but he chooses to take some of them with him.
Yeah.
And you get to a point where he goes back to the house where he was abducted from, and sort of uses that as his base of operations, and ends up taking some of his victims down to the basement and making them into fucking cocoons.
Yeah, it was, well, I don't know about cocoons, because they weren't like wrapped in anything. They were just kind of laying there.
No, they were wrapped in like white foam.
There was definitely cocoonage going on, yeah.
Was there? I just remember them drooling white foam.
No, this is after the fact, man.
Go ahead.
No, well, he gives them, he's got this, he's, for whatever reason, I don't know, he's got this tentacle that comes out of his mouth.
Oh, you mean, what did I call it? The shit hose? Yeah. the screaming shit hose.
Yeah, he's got... Well, yeah, we haven't mentioned that yet, the sound effect.
Oh, see, that irritated the... Okay, I watched this movie at work, which hopefully nobody at my work listens to this, but I was...
Just knowing where you work, that's...
I was watching it at work, and I had the headphones in, and there's these loud fucking screams and screeches every 10 minutes or so. And it was real. Not only was it off-putting, and I think that's kind of the point of it, was it's supposed to make you feel uncomfortable, but it was just so loud in the actual mix of everything.
Yeah, the mix seemed way off.
And that just it like blew my fucking eardrums out. And if it was like a one or two time thing, that would have been fine. But it was seriously like every 10 minutes.
Well, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you. I was just saying yes.
This is the other thing that sucks about not being in the room with you guys. So I never know if I'm about to cut you off or not. So I apologize ahead of time if I do.
I guess I'll just have to come down here to do the show then.
I'm going to have, well, this
I've
is
been trying to get him to do that for a year.
This is hopefully something that I'll only have to do every now and then because I would like to, yes, come down and actually be face-to-face with you guys. Plus, I need to get handies from Matt under the table. But
And also Temecula's not that far. We can make a little trip.
Yeah,
it's not. It's just more for me getting off of work. And anyway, we can talk about this later. This is interesting podcasting for everyone who wants to know about it. So especially with that noise thing, it seemed like they never said, oh, it's limited or you can only use it a few times. But there were definitely – and here's another thing with the plot. Like, there were definitely times where he could have utilized that to get out of situations where he was being overcome in certain ways that he didn't. And I just kept sitting there going, don't you have this fucking shriek that just completely
incapacitates people.
Yeah, it incapacitates people and gets them. So why aren't you just fucking screaming right now?
Like all the time.
Yeah, you're little like.
Well, that's because that would insinuate that the people in the movie had common sense.
Right.
like when the hunters found him naked in the woods, you know, he obviously has a struggle with these hunters. And the entire time I'm thinking like, okay, you're wrestling with a naked dude. Why don't you just kick him in the dick? Like, he's clearly overpowering you. His fucking twig and berries is right there. Just give him a quick shot to the crotch and you're good to go, man. And then you pull the gun on him. But no, they just kind of sat there and Greco-Roman naked wrestled with him. And then they both died. But it was fucking awesome because one of the dudes got his face blown all over the other dude.
That was fucking cool.
Oh, the gas station, yeah.
Oh, the gas station? My notes say fuck yes to all the gas station violence. Because
yeah.
Every bit of that gas station scene was fucking awesome.
The gas station was cool. We had two deaths, right? We had the shotgun to the face. And then what happened to the...
He
went fucking ape shit on that guy's neck with a knife.
So he goes into the gas station.
Was awesome.
And he's got, you know, the shotgun on his back and he's trying to get directions. And the guy working at the counter, you know, gets all uppity on him. He's like, get the fuck out of here. What are you doing coming in with a gun? And as soon as he walks out of the gas station, he walks to this poor schlub pumping gas and just throws him against the hood of his car, pulls out a knife and just stabs him in the jugular. And just blood squirting everywhere.
Yeah.
And then the stupid gas station attendant comes out and tries to be a hero and gets his fucking face blown off. And
which this is another issue I had with the movie. It seemed like the guns that they use in the filming of it, the caliber of said guns had no fucking bearing on anything. Like the shotgun could do like a pinpoint accuracy from like 30 feet, or the rifle they were shooting can blow somebody's head completely off. Like somebody needed to do a little bit of research on, you know, fucking guns. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. How guns actually work. But I, like I said, I really enjoy. Oh, okay. There's something I want to, when we were talking about, the screaming shit hose. So, I was going to say, if you've seen like an alien movie, but that's not even either way, whenever there's like some kind of demonic creature or whatever, and he's trying to infect or possess someone else, there is there's got to be a way of transporting the spirit to the body. And so this guy has this tube that comes out of his mouth that basically looks like intestines if intestines were wrapped in shit. And he's almost like a fly almost. And it connects to their mouths. But when he first has the people in the barn, I totally thought it was like they just went and picked up some people from an improv class. And it was like, okay, just lay here. And when we give you the signal, pretend you're bacon. Because he pumps this stuff into their mouth.
And they're sizzling.
Yeah, and they're just sizzling on the floor. I'm like, keep sizzling. The pan is so hot.
You're not yes-anding right now.
Yes. No. You have much more fat than that. Sizzle more.
Sizzle, sizzle, stop.
Yeah. And
now we break.
And the screaming shit hose, there was a rape scene with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was fucking awesome. Like, okay, rape scenes are, you know, they're rape scenes, whatever.
All right. But, and this is jumping way fucking ahead. Yeah. But during said screaming shit hose rape scene, when fat Joey Balls comes into the room with the gun, did you notice that he stopped and like, I get what they're trying to do because it's kind of like he's supposed to have this what in the fuck look on his face, but he kind of more looks like, okay, all
right. Oh,
like,
all right.
Did you notice how they
stopped? Like, I don't know if I want this to stop right now.
If I remember correctly, at that point, they only showed his face. They didn't show his hands. So
yeah, and it looked like he was finding something out about himself at that moment.
But that scene right there, it was, so he's the alien guy, whatever, is, you could tell he's forcing himself on this girl, and apparently he's trying to impregnate her with his alien seed, which is weird because everybody else is done orally.
Yeah.
But he pulls down her pants, and that thing just shoots straight for her coot and just attaches right to it, and then...
He basically, if you were to give it a word, you'd say he squacks that chick.
He squacks her with a screaming shit hose, man.
So, yeah, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but you know what? One of the things I had on my notes here was that. So we have the cocoon zombies that happen,
Craig,
which is, you know, after they get impregnated from the throat, you get, you know, essentially little minions that he gets, but. I wanted to talk about this. The abduction scene that they did was actually pretty well done.
In the beginning?
No. Well, in sort of the middle, like right after the cocoon zombies like emerged, that scene where like they were fighting, whatever. Uh-huh. They have a scene where Beardo McFuckface is like strapped down to a table and they're like putting something over his face and then like drilling into his eye and.
At one point,
that flashback scene to him being abducted, though, especially with the whole jelly in the mouth thing and all that stuff, I mean, is really, really reminiscent of Fire in the Sky.
I wish I could show you my notes. I literally had that written down because I thought how cool it was that it was sort of an homage to Fire in the Sky.
Right, I didn't know how to because like and this is another thing with the balance of this movie is that sometimes I fucking don't know. I'm like, on one hand, I'm like, I don't know if this is derivative of something or if you're paying homage to it. I don't know what you're doing. So that's another little bit of a problem with it is kind of, I never quite know what line they're straddling. Cause that whole thing with, especially with the cocoons in the basement, that's where I immediately was like, oh, they fucking did that.
Body snatchers. Oh.
Well, or that, yeah, that too. But I mean like the whole, especially with the whole, like the hose to, you know, the Grant, alien though, like, you know, instead of the hose coming from his mouth, it came from his stomach and went into theirs, but he pumped them full of eggs and then they went into the you know, cocoon stasis and then they came out and they were like minions of his. It was like kind of the whole thing. It was very, very reminiscent of that.
Well, see, there was another part later too where I was thinking it was very much like Jason Goes to Hell, you know, where they have those weird leech things and that's how he transports the spirit of Jason from one body to another.
Okay. Okay.
Is that just over your head?
No, but I think that might be a bit of a stretch.
What I thought. I mean, because like, we saw people eating leeches in like Puppet Master and all that stuff, but that was like the main thing of Jason Goes to Hell was that's how they transferred it. And
I think that would probably be more, if they were doing an homage, it would probably be more of the Night of the Creeps.
Ah, yeah. I actually just watched that movie the other night and it was fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's so fucking good.
So good. It is. Oh, you know what? They were in pods, and in my notes, I called them oatmeal birthing pods because it looked like they were in giant fucking clams made of oatmeal.
Yeah, it wasn't very well done. The cocoon pod things were it looked like paper mache, which is probably what it was.
Man, my notes are really weird this time. I have a bunch of stuff that I don't like. I have the phrase hacksaw Jim jugular in there.
I have sweet hacksaw kill in my notes.
Okay, so there was apparently a hacksaw kill with a jugular, and I just wrote hacksaw Jim jugular.
Yeah, he gets the chick who is living at his house. He fucking jugulars her hacksaw. It was awesome.
You know,
like kind of going back to the whole like the effects and stuff, and just the attention to detail they put. Like when they fucking just hammer the, you know, iron and wine in the back, and when he takes that thing out, like that little spray of blood that splatters on the tarp behind him, I was just like, what a fucking cool attention to detail, because that was really cool. You know, it's like, it's nothing that's like right in your face or anything like that. It's just a quick little, like when he yanks the axe out and just kind of like right behind him. I was like, that's cool.
See, you're forgetting to mention the fact that he just had that axe chilling in his back for all of like 8 minutes. He gets the hacks on the, or the hatchet in the back, and he just once again gives zero fucks. And he's like, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing.
He's got alien power, dude. Come on.
You know, and as I was looking through my notes, going back to what you said, Chris, about I can't tell if you're basically like ripping this off or you're paying homage. I'm more inclined to believe that it was like everything was an homage, because like I said, I found that part where I thought it was like Jason Goes to Hell. Do you remember the closet scene in this movie?
Remind me of Halloween.
Exactly. I wrote that in my notes. I'm like, this is very much like the closet scene in the first Halloween, even to the point where like, you know, she's hiding and then he's breaking through the closet. She stabs. I don't remember what she stabs him with in this. It was
she had the axe or something in her hand. I don't remember exactly how that switched hands. Yeah, I don't know.
Hanger.
She had a knife from the kitchen, I believe.
Okay, so yeah. And then he even kind of like becomes incapacitated in a sense or for a minute. And she comes out and then he attacks her again.
Well, I don't think he actually wanted to hurt her at that point. Like,
well, see, and that's another thing I don't understand, because as soon as those hunters found him in the woods in the beginning, his first words were Jen, which was his girlfriend's name. So is this just like a love story about like how even if you become a fucking like alien egg vessel, that you still have like your feelings for your beloved?
And again, beloved. Slither did that so much better.
Yeah.
And, you know, and, sorry, go ahead.
I still haven't watched Slither.
You haven't seen...
Well, here's the thing.
Dude.
Here's the thing. I own the DVD.
We're done.
And
I'm saying we're closing the podcast down.
Hear me out. I own the DVD and I've tried to watch it, but from the day I bought the DVD, it's been fucked. So I can only get about 45 minutes into it before the DVD just completely shits out.
So, and here's the thing about homages to...
George is so goddamn disappointed right now.
I am too. You're lucky you can't see my face.
I've tried to watch it, okay? If I find it, I'll watch it, but I'm not going to go out and buy another DVD when I have one that just doesn't work.
Come on.
Ugh. You're the worst.
So here's the...
Why you gotta be so rude? Dude, I'm almost human too. Sorry, that stupid song is everywhere.
So here's the thing, and it's the thing that movies like Slither and even arguably, I know this might be a little controversial to some people, but like House of a Thousand Corpses or Shaun of the Dead, that they do right by paying homage is that they wink at the camera a little bit. It's a little tongue in cheek. They play around. They have fun with the concept of kind of like nodding towards the camera saying, hey, remember this? This movie doesn't do that. It takes itself so damn seriously that even when there's an homage, you're like, I don't know if you're winking at the camera, or I don't know if you're... You know, there has to be a little bit of, if you're going to pay that much of an homage to something, which clearly, you know, the three of us talking, we all found those threads.
Yeah.
We all saw those same things. And that's 100% cool. I love it when movies do that. But as long as you're having fun, and I think that that's the thing, is that I didn't feel that come through necessarily in the movie.
Yeah. I think there's a, it's not a subtle difference between, you know, being tongue in cheek and paying homage to the films that, you know, that they're trying to emulate. I think you're right. I mean, you see it and you're like, okay, that's definitely cribbing from whatever movie we're talking about, but it's not done in a playful manner and it's off-putting. That's really what it is.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is because I know, like, and again, this is where I say, like, at the core of this movie, it's like...
Okay, so
I tip my hat to it, because I see what they were trying to do and they fucking almost achieved it, but they were just off a little bit.
So if it's not done in a playful manner, does that mean they were ripping it off rather than...
No, they just... I just don't think they have the tact to do it in a playful manner. And given not every homage has to be done in a playful manner.
Because I think it would have bothered me more if it was kind of like, hey, doesn't this kind of remind you of Halloween? Wink, wink.
Well, wouldn't that have been awesome? Like halfway through the movie, you get like a breaking the fourth wall kind of thing where like, so...
This movie was confusing enough as it was. Like, I don't need them just breaking the fourth wall all of a sudden. I mean, okay, if it was a little more obvious, like... If the little Halloween closet scene, if he would have kind of done the Michael Myers sit up, then it would have been like, oh, okay, that's clearly an homage to Halloween. But okay. It was just little parts of it, but not enough to be like, okay, this is definitely a throwback.
I think the movie was missing. I think the troubling part to me is that, and we're going to be harping on this movie again, but the acting was a little bit wooden. Right. So, yes. You know, you're missing a little bit of the human aspect of the film because you know, you have these people dying and I don't give a fuck about anybody in this movie. Honestly, right. Like I don't give a shit about anybody who dies. So, yeah.
Well, I did want Jen. I did want Jen to die because she just fucking irritated.
She got hers.
Yeah.
She did get hers. I don't necessarily need another horror comedy because Lord knows we've got enough. But I just need something that's got a little bit of a personality, and I think they were verging on having personality. Verging. Like, they were close. But...
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No. I keep jumping in. I apologize.
No, actually, okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so kind of to jump back to what we were talking to you before, so when they do those subtle nods... So, and that's what I mean, I guess that's wrong to say it has to be tongue-in-cheek or playful. It doesn't necessarily have to be, but just don't make it so goddamn, like, beating you over the head kind of with it without... Okay, so, and maybe I'm not explaining myself correctly, but going back to what we were talking about before, that nod to Derry, Maine, mm-hmm. That was perfect. Because when they said that, I was like, Derry, okay, I see what you did there.
I see what you're doing.
But it wasn't so, like, when they did the whole, like, Halloween nod, I was like, okay, that's very clearly reminiscent of Halloween. You know, when they did the whole, like, flashback to him being abducted, I'm like, that's totally Fire in the Sky. Yep. Like, well, I see what they were doing, and it's like, but if you're going to write that, because there were so many of those, that if you're going to write that big of a love letter to it,
yeah.
Well, you then, either have to be A, subtle as fuck, or you have to be just go for it, like Shaun of the Dead did.
Yeah.
Did you notice that the cover and the title on the actual cover of the movie was very...
It looked like not only The Thing, but...
Scanners.
It looked like Scanners. That's what I was going to say. It looked like Scanners.
If he would have had his hands on his head rather than by his side. But yeah, I mean, I was like, oh, this looks a lot like The Thing. And
yeah. And these are all the things that I love about the movie trying to do. That's why I'm like, you know, it's one of those things where, like, okay, this movie is like that guy that you know, who you're, and you're like, I fucking hate your band, but I'd love to have a beer with you. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? You're like, I don't necessarily like the things you do. But you and I could probably sit down and have a very long conversation about a lot of shit.
I think you're right. I think the director and Seth? Seth?
You mean Skip Franco?
No, Mark.
Mark.
I think the director and Mark obviously have, you know, real deep roots when it comes to horror movies. Like, they get it when it comes to, you know, what not necessarily what works in a horror movie, but what... You know, the scenes that we've all kind of like, you know, when we watch them, we're like, oh, fuck, that's a good scene. The bits in Slither that you're talking about, the bits in Halloween that you're talking about, like all these things separately are all very good units. But when you try to shoehorn them so much into one single film while still trying to be very straight faced about it comes across as not very genuine, I think. Right.
Like and the other thing too is like a lot of this, I think what I'm trying to actually say, it's like, and especially coming from someone who's just sitting in front of their fucking computer in Temecula and has not made a movie, like fuck, like seriously, fuck me. Like this guy or these guys actually got together the money, went out, shot something that actually looks fucking gorgeous, looks really, really good. And their only crime in the movie really was that it didn't all pull together the way I think even they thought it was going.
Right.
They didn't play how they thought it was going to play, and that could you could fault the actors, or you could fault the pacing, you could fault a lot of things. But the bottom line, I mean, through all these things that we're saying, and even me saying, oh, well, fuck this, or this didn't make any sense, or how dare they do this, like, if this guy makes another movie, I'll fucking watch it, because it looks good.
And and you would hope that given, you know, you can't always control who you get as an actor. I mean, you can, but you know.
Well, but ultimately, as horror fans, are we even that hung up on acting?
I think so. I mean, I'm not hung up, but you know, when
look at the original Evil Dead films, like the acting in those were laughable, but those are cult classics.
But see, that's the thing though, dude. Like when you watch Evil Dead, there is clearly like 1 foot in satire,
the wink and the nod,
and 1 foot in horror. Like it's not
so much in the original, the second one. Yeah. But
I would even say the first one, man, like,
yeah, I agree with George on this. Yeah.
I think what happened with this movie was, you know, we're trying to do serious sci-fi horror, which is hard to do. Not many films have done sci-fi horror well. I mean, obviously
Event Horizon,
Alien, you know, these films have all done horror sci-fi very well. It's hard to do it now, I think, because we've seen fucking everything. Yeah. You know, like we're saying, like this is basically Slither 2.0 or whatever. I think what this needed was a little bit more personality. And less homage, a little bit more like, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but there was a little something that was missing.
Well, see, no, I nailed it with personality, because if this movie would have had it, like, so, I know, Matt, you're going back and saying, you know, well, fucking look at Evil Dead, even the actors in that movie, but you know what they fucking had? They had Bruce Campbell. And,
which, by the way, happy birthday 2 days ago.
Yeah. Oh, happy birthday. Yes, happy birthday.
Wait, way to date our podcast, George.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah. But see, and that's what I'm saying. It's like if Fat Joey Balls could have been fucking even just half as charismatic as Bruce Campbell, we might not be having the same conversation right now. We could be fucking just totally just dick and balls in all of our mouths blowing this movie.
Yeah. I don't know that I would have gone.
Wow,
I don't know that I would have gone as far as the balls.
I think that's the most colorful thing that's ever been said on this podcast.
Yeah, colorful. Well, I don't know. Carlos has said some colorful things.
Well, we've edited those out there.
most of them, anyways. Yeah.
We don't want everyone to know how much of a hate monger you were.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for me, honestly, as much as I mean, you guys know me. I'm not really big on story. I'm instant gratification. Give me blood. Give me boobs. That's what I want.
Which you got both of in this movie.
I did. And I was really happy that they did throw a nice set of boobs in there.
Yeah.
Well,
I always, whenever I'm watching a movie, when we get boobs, I'm always like, Matt's good.
In your notes, Matt stoked.
I say, you got your boobs on this.
What did mine say? mine said, oh, finally boobs / scissors to the dome.
But actually, going back to the whole screaming shit hose rape scene,
this is how a fly eats pussy.
Well, so, we're just talking about Evil Dead. Maybe subtle nod to the tree rape scene.
Maybe.
I mean, his screaming shit hose did look a little bit like a tree branch covered in shit, I guess.
No, but I think it would be more of a not quite so subtle homage to Slither. I mean,
that's where I just keep coming back to it. This movie, yeah.
I wish there was a little more story to it. There was a little more meat to this. Because, I mean, I didn't know what the point of everything was. I mean, he gets abducted. He shows up 2 years later and he starts killing people. There's zero explanation as to why.
Yeah, he didn't. There was no point. Other than them taking over the world.
Right. Yeah, well, okay, I was going to say, he does say at the end when he's throwing Fat Joey Balls around that he's pretty much going to take over the world. Yeah. And he does tell Jen, like he says, you know, and going back to what you said, you're like, you don't think he wants to hurt her. I think you're right. I think he actually retaining some of what used to be Mark, you know, he wanted to essentially rule the world with her at his side. Like kind of, that's how it seemed to me. Again,
my question is why kill anybody?
So could you argue this is a love story?
I mean, sort of.
Like, very loosely.
But look, if the whole point of him coming back is to start the revolution, the quote-unquote alien invasion, why are you going around blasting people's heads off? Every recruit you get is going to help you to recruit other people.
Right.
It didn't make any sense to start just offhandedly killing people.
But then the fact that he wanted Jen by his side, or he didn't want to hurt her, that implies that there's some form of himself still in there. He's not just completely like this alien vessel anymore. He's still got a little bit of Mark in there. So
and not that's... only and not only that, dude, but we're supposed to take in that he's like the leader of the aliens. Like, why would I just don't?
Or not necessarily, unless if you guys watch the end of the credits.
Yeah, did you actually watch it this time?
I fucking did.
Good.
In your face.
I was waiting. It was in my notes. I'm going to ask George if he watched
that. I totally did, because if anybody's listening knows me, I always miss the end of credits.
He actually did that on the Afflicted episode we recorded last week. He's like, God damn it, did I miss another scene at the end
of
the credits?
Every fucking time. Well, our first ever episode, I missed, you know, the after credits thing. And... yeah, so...
Well, and this after credits just kind of pissed me off because it really made no fucking sense.
No, it absolutely made sense. Actually, I thought this was one of the more clever parts of the movie, because really what it was saying is like, this was actually the part that actually kind of made me, of all of my ill feelings towards the movie while I was watching it, when I saw that, I was like, all right, it's a little bit of a bandage on the wound, because it would, like, to me, it's like, we just went through all this hell with all these people, even though we didn't really give a shit about them. But you went through this journey with these people thinking... because we forget about that second guy that they abducted in the beginning. They hardly mention him again, except for just a little bit.
So was that...
That's the first guy.
That was the truck.
I thought that was Seth.
No.
Because the last two notes I have was lame cop-out ending, and then now Seth is an alien? What the fuck?
No, like, that wouldn't...
Go ahead.
He wasn't the leader.
You're cutting
like,
out.
Just another guy that they sent down to... So he was just the first and probably ring of people ready to deploy to Earth to take over planet or whoever. Is how I took it anyway.
The clip was so quick. It was literally the last 15 seconds of the movie, and it's kind of just going through the woods, and you see another guy laying naked, you know, Terminator style. And then as it zooms up, you just see somebody turn over and cough, and then that's the end of it. And it was just so quick that I thought it was Seth. And, you know, like, okay, now that you put it where it was the first guy that was abducted, the one they're talking about in the very first scene of the movie, that makes it a lot better.
Yeah.
But I really fucking hated the ending. I did.
Yeah.
Like the last 2 or 3 minutes of it, it was...
You mean before the credits?
Before the credits.
I enjoyed that more than I enjoyed a lot of it.
Really? Because I mean, like, the you know, if you're listening to this, then you know that we really don't give a fuck about spoiling things. But if you don't want to hear how the last 2 or 3 minutes of it ends, like, I'm going to talk about it for a second. So Jen ultimately, like I said, that whole Jason X passing the giant leech thing through the mouth, Jen becomes some kind of alien vessel. And
well, the alien essentially transfers over to her,
right?
Are we talking the main alien? Because I didn't quite.
Well,
yeah,
that's what we're led to believe. Because right?
they killed right. Mark.
Because he blows his head off, and then that thing crawls out of his neck stump and goes into her mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So like the actual like alien being goes into her, not
right?
Like
and so she becomes basically like Jason, and she's and so she's trying to kill Skip Franco, Fat Joey Balls, and then
we don't know any of the characters' name in this movie. It's just
Fat Joey Balls, Iron and Wine,
Badly Drawn Boy,
and Skip Franco.
Yeah, Skip Franco. So then he Seth Skip Franco, he's fighting with Jen, and he's like, she's just laying on the floor all bloody, and he picks up a giant rock and he's about to smash her head in.
No, he does smash her head in.
Well, he's about to. And then she says, like, it's me, it's Jen, like, help me. I need your help. I'm basically not the alien. I'm the person you know. And then he smashes her head in with the rock. And as soon as he does, all of a sudden, this fucking cop magically teleports to the scene and says, put down your weapon, and then shoots fucking Fat Joey Balls. Like, where the fuck did the cop come from? Like, first of all, I know they said they were going to call the cops at some point, but that the ending, the last like 2 minutes, just seemed completely thrown together. And for a movie that wound up only being 72 minutes without the credits, they could have easily thrown in another 5 or 6 minutes to kind of make things make a little more sense.
Can we also talk about how the fucking car was already started and the door was open whenever
he was ready to rock. That engine's been running for like 2 hours.
Wait, which engine?
Joey Balls.
He had car.
What? Oh, wait. After he blew his head off, he hands her the gun, says, stay here and use this if you need to. He goes down to call the police. That's when he called the police. That's when he got attacked by titties. And then he went out and started the car. That's when she got attacked. The alien went down her throat, and then he came up and grabbed her. That's why the car was already running outside.
You know,
the cop showed up.
When I die, I really hope it's because I'm attacked by titties.
I'm gonna do everything in my power to make sure. Hey, like in Meaning of Life, you just want a bunch of naked girls to chase you off a cliff.
Yes, and not Benny Hill-esque.
Not to keep beating the homage
horse.
But that the last couple minutes, for me anyways, had a very descent feel to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the, you know, getting them in the car, trying to get going and everything. Like, I sorry, director, writer, everybody. It's one of those things, man. It just sort of feels like there was a little missing spark.
Yeah. I think... If I'm given my final opinion on the movie, I think I enjoyed it more than I didn't enjoy it. Like I said, I would like a little more story. The violence was done really well. The cinematography done really well. The acting kind of poor, but that's not really what I look for in a horror movie anyways. So where it was flawed, I felt like it did a good enough job keeping me entertained in my super short attention span. I would recommend this movie to people. I think most people will at least find something they can enjoy with it. You may not watch it 2-3 times. It may not be your favorite movie, but I definitely think there's something for most people in this movie.
Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to watch it again, but it definitely had some things I liked about it. Obviously, you know, being born and raised in that time of, you know, like the 80s horror movies, especially the cheesy ones. There's a lot for me to like about it. I think that it was, you know, I've already kind of aired my grievances on what I didn't like about the movie. I think it is going to serve its purpose as far as getting this guy's name out on the circuit and hopefully get him a bigger budget to do something pretty cool, because I definitely, you know, he's obviously got a lot of talent. I mean, with the shoestring budget that he had, and you can fucking tell it's shoestring budget, you know, he did a lot with it. And, you know, if I would have seen this with the same eyes that I would have watched like Clerks back in 94, I would have probably fucking loved this movie. It's just, you know, seeing so much after that and kind of being a little older and jaded, I think is the only reason maybe I didn't like it so much, but, or didn't enjoy it. I didn't even want to say I didn't like it, but, yeah, I mean, yeah. It was,
that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's meh.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with both of you guys. I think that I wouldn't go so far as to say it's a definite recommend, but I think if what we're talking about sounds kind of like what you're into, check it out. I mean, the acting is a little bit to be desired. The directing is fantastic. The cinematography is spot on. The violence and gore and special effects are really well done. I just think it lacked a little bit in the charm and personality. That's what it boils down to for me. I think that had it had a little bit more life, a little bit more like twinkle in its eye, I think it would have been a much better effort. And hopefully what the director has coming up next is, you know, has got all those pieces of the puzzle put together.
Yeah. When this guy learns from his mistakes on this film and kind of goes forward to do his next thing, I bet he's probably going to rock it.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I agree as well.
We agree to agree.
And Joe, if you've made it this far through the podcast, we still hope you would like to come on the show.
And no, maybe I mean, you can look, clear a few and things up for and us. I don't know really if you're the director of this movie who you know has put their time and blood and sweat and tears into this movie, I don't think you come out of it watching it thinking that it's a perfectly finished product. Honestly, like
You mean this movie specifically or just any movie in general?
I think any movie in general. Like I think
except for Big Trouble in Little China, clearly.
Obviously. You know, I think that anybody worth their salt as a director will be able to take an objective look at this and be like, okay, this is what I did in this film that was really well done. This is what I did that needed help, and come out of it better. Because, you know, there's definite pieces in this movie that are really well done. It just needed a little bit more glue, something to hold everything together.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, you can, and that's why I said, I mean, you can definitely see the heart in this movie. It just never quite, it never quite finds its place inside the body of it. It just, it's there, and I don't think it fully knows what it's doing, which can lead for a very disorienting experience when you watch it, and can, you know, that's the thing too. I remember like the first, I texted Matt actually, I think maybe 20 or 30 minutes into the movie, and I was just like, this is fucking horrible. And
actually, he said, this movie's fucking stupid.
Oh, I said, it's fucking stupid. But then when it was done, even after it was done, I walked outside and I was talking to my wife, and she was like, how was it? I said, it was fucking horrible. And but the more I sat, because then I was starting to go over my notes and kind of lining everything up so that we could talk about it, the more and more I was going through it, the more and more I was realizing how much in the movie that there was that I liked. And it didn't kind of hit me until afterwards. But you know, for all the things that were wrong with it, I mean, again, you can look at it and say, this is the guy's first real effort, and you know, it's not going to be perfect. I'm actually kind of sad that this is probably the first thing that people are going to see from him, because I bet if he would have had just one more crack, he could have put something out there for everyone. Like, I wish this wouldn't end up on
Netflix.
You mean
one more hit of crack? just one.
Yeah,
one,
I mean, like, you know,
just one more.
Yeah,
just one more.
You always got to have, the first one's always free.
Yeah.
if you would have had just one more chance to kind of like do something, like if this would have been like a film to kind of just get out there and get more money for like his next project, and that one would have been the one that hit Netflix and everyone would have seen, like I said, we wouldn't even be having the same conversation. We'd probably be like just, you know, just slob and knob on this movie.
Yeah. That's only like the fourth reference you've made to sucking
I
dick
know,
tonight.
Goodness.
Like, and you think I have a love of dick?
You both do.
Well, that's why we're friends.
Yeah.
We actually.
Well, why are we friends then?
If you have go a love back, of that's dick actually as well. How Matt and I bonded.
Yeah. It was because I saw some dude touching his dick in like 2002.
And I've seen your testicles, so hey.
You have. Were you one of the people that touched my testicles?
I did.
He did. He touched my testicles after I had surgery.
Yeah.
It was awesome. No, it wasn't. I mean, it was awesome that so many. It was awesome that so many people touched my testicles that night. It was like eight people that touched my balls at a party. Great stuff.
For every dick reference I make, you'll notice that I immediately make a reference to my wife right afterwards.
I make a donation to NAMBLA every time.
Oh.
All right, well, everybody. Well,
there is something I would like to address before we sign off.
We're not going
to
close out yet. Okay.
Well, we've hit a milestone here at the Who Goes There podcast. George and I have been sailing this ship for about a year now, and we didn't know that we would make it.
Jesus Christ.
Right? We didn't know that we would make it in the beginning, but it's been a really fucking awesome year, and we've met some really great people, and we've seen some pretty good movies and some really shitty movies. And we want to thank all of you for all the support, Chris, you included, because you've been listening from the beginning. But thank you all for the support on social media and listening to the show, telling your friends everything. We've got some cool stuff coming up in the next year. I don't know what we're doing for episode 25 yet, and even if I did, it would probably change last
minute
anyways. It'd probably
be a bullshit lie.
But look for us to do some really cool stuff in the next year. We are going to be the official podcast of the Fantastic Horror Film Fest coming to San Diego for their first time. It's actually the inaugural kickoff or whatever the fuck of
Film Fest, not a fest.
Not horror convention.
Not a convention, yeah.
Film festival.
Yeah.
It's going to be 3 days in San Diego, the weekend of Halloween, a bunch of horror features, horror shorts. We will have Mike and Joanne, the founders of the festival, on the show at some point. Promotion for that is really going to start gearing up now that Comic-Con is around us. So check that out. We'll be broadcasting from the festival and talking hopefully to some of the actors and directors. And we've got awesome pins and stickers now. If you guys want some, just find a way to get in touch with us. They're free. We'll send them to you. And once again, thank you guys for everything, from the actors and directors and people who have touched us on social media and touched us in the bedroom. And, we're eternally grateful. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, we're getting close to a year here. We're literally sneaking up on it, and I can't. You know, we're doing this mainly to have a good time, because ultimately, what are we doing except for hanging out with our friends, having a good time? And we appreciate, you know, all the social media shit, everything. That's all good stuff. For me, it's a special shout out to, in fact, members of my family, cousins who have done, you know, cool things with the podcast.
More stuff than we could have even asked for.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And it's just a shitty little horror podcast. We're just trying to have a good time. But yeah, like Matt's saying, this next year should be fun. We're going to have, you know, horror film fests. We hopefully have a good year of movies ahead of us, man, because this last year was kind of lackluster.
And if not, we'll just find shitty movies to make fun
hopefully
of.
Hopefully not, time. Man. I want us to talk about some good stuff. Unfortunately, though, the good movies end up being
really like boring episodes.
Really boring, because all we do is like, I love
it's
that
like, yeah,
movie.
No, I really like this. you know, yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, but anywho, thanks everybody. Yeah, I mean, we'll do our year anniversary show coming up here real soon, but before we get there, we just wanted to say thanks.
Yeah.
And Chris?
Yes.
We wanted to thank you for coming on fucking finally.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. Actually, it was a lot of fun. If I didn't fuck up the episode too bad, I'd love to come back on again if you guys have.
Yay.
Yeah, we'll
well, we are looking for an official third host. So, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't mind throwing my fucking hat in the ring for
that. Hey! Yeah. Well, you know.
Well, if you keep recommending movies like Rare Exports, I don't know that that's going to work.
Hey, Rare Exports wasn't that bad.
Really? Was it just the episode that was bad?
Yeah, the episode was bad. The movie was pretty decent.
It was Christmas time and we just got shit-faced drunk. Yeah,
we were too happy on presents. And
yes.
That's it for the Who Goes There podcast, episode 24. We hope you guys enjoyed the show. And we'll see you at a year.
Yeah. That's it.
Say goodnight, everybody.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye. And who goes there to you?
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.